The Meeting Point, Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 to 10 p.m., only on SAFM. Koketso Sachane on SAFM.
So late last night, and I must admit into the early hours of this morning, couldn't sleep, and I went back to the address by President Thabo Mbeki when he engaged with UNISA students on Wednesday. You might have last night and during the course of today picked up on some headlines from what more President Mbeki said. The thing with snippets or sound bites, however, is that we can easily miss not only the overall message of the address, but also other important statements that we should ponder on. Over the next few minutes, we're going to share more of what the former president had to say and hopefully get your thoughts. These are my reflections, or what in part stayed with me. I am a bit editorializing on the wireless somewhat, but I'm doing so because I'm interested also in your thoughts. Firstly, President Mbeki made an important point that as we reflect on 30 years of democracy, we cannot, and I'm paraphrasing here, we cannot lump the entire 30 years into one box as if everything that happened was and is the same over the 30 years. Mbeki drew from the words of the Institute for Race Relations CEO Dr. John Andrews, who during an address in the U.S., when speaking of the future of South Africa, spoke of how the 30 years of democracy can be looked at or divided into what Andrews describes as the three ages. The first age being from 1994 to 2007, the second age from 2008 to 2022, and the third age being the period we are about to conclude now in 2024. Now, firstly, here is President Mbeki explaining specifically the stark differences between the first two ages of the 30 years of democracy that we are celebrating today.
So Dr. Andrews says, if you look at age one, the country is going up all the time. He says if even you take the number of people employed, in 1994 you got 8 million people employed, by 2008 it's 14 million. To contest this assertion that is made, that this was a period of jobless growth, because in fact there's enormous job creation during this period. Levels of unemployment drop during this period. All manner of positive things. He gives all the detailed socioeconomic figures to show this upward process. That's what he calls age number one. Then as I was saying, he says age number two is from 2008 to 2022. And you have the direct opposite happens. So in this 30 years of democracy, we start off going this way, and from 2008 we start going the opposite direction. So next time you hear somebody saying, you've had this terrible 30 years of democracy, they are not telling the truth. They are not talking about South Africa, they are talking about another country. And you can see why, one of the reasons, why from 2008, some of the socioeconomic figures point downwards. Because I'm sure all of us will remember that 2009 was this period of the global financial crisis. Started with the crisis in the US banks. affected the whole world, impacted on us here. During that period, job losses started happening. This is an exogenous impact on South Africa of the global economy, which is shrinking, and therefore, in terms of our exports and all of that, they get impacted upon by that. So I'm saying you can therefore see one of the reasons why from 2008, in terms of those socioeconomic figures, you would see a downward trend. But I don't think that is the entire explanation for this change. Because one of the puzzling things about this paradigm, as explained by Dr. Andres, is during age one, the national government here is the ANC. During age two, national government is the same party. So question arises, what happened that the same party is able to lead the country in this very positive way during age one and lead the country in the opposite direction in terms of age two? That's a puzzle, that's a conundrum. If it was a change of party, another party took over, then we can explain it. But it's the same party. What happened? So I'm saying when we talk about Temsile, about 30 years of democracy, I think this is part of what we've got to take on board. That what Andres is saying is correct. Is factually correct. One of the things that Andres does not discuss, because he was not discussing that particular issue, is that it's during this age one that we adopt our current constitution, 1996. And part of what happens during that first period is that we then put in place all the institutions that are required of this constitution. So whether you are talking constitutional court or public protector or the commission on gender issues and so on, all of these institutions, including the laws and regulations, come during this period. So this is a period, age number one, according to Dr. Andres, not only of socio-economic progress, but also the very entrenchment, the definition of democracy in this country comes during this period. Challenges even with regard to that come during age number two. I think this is a distinction that we need to make. Even in the context of voting on the 29th of May, I think we need to understand that context in order to be able to know who are we voting for. Who are these people?
The words there of former President Thabo Mbeki speaking during an engagement with students at UNISA yesterday. And if you've just tuned in, what we are doing is just taking a moment to go back to parts of what President Mbeki had to say, allowing ourselves to engage a bit deeper beyond the headlines and also hopefully get your thoughts on what he had to say. There is so much I want to say about what President Mbeki had to say, but due to time, I need to move on. I've noted that the main or dominant headline from the speech by the president or by TM is what he had to say about President Jacob Zuma. Last night in the news, it was about how JZ cannot be in MK while remaining an ANC member. And today in the news, it was about how TM says that JZ was central in the destruction of SARS. It makes sense to have these be the main stories because it makes good headlines. It's juicy and it's relevant, especially during this period of electioneering. What I picked up, and again, I'm editorializing, hoping you will share your thoughts. A point that TM made in speaking of the second age from 2007 to 2022, the period where a lot was undone, from what he says, is that there were two commissions of inquiry, the Nugent Commission on SARS and the Zondo Commission, which, while dealing with the broader question of the capture of the state, also carried on from where the Nugent Commission concluded in investigating what happened at SARS. This is what TM said in part about these commissions.
The Zondo Commission says, in terms of all of the evidence that we've received, one of the things that stands out is that the President of the Republic made certain that he was one of the leading people in terms of the SARS processes and in terms of the ESCOM processes. It's in the Zondo Commission report, it's in the public domain. And yet again, we have this strange phenomenon, Comrade President, that what I'm now saying about what the Zondo Commission says about who was responsible for this attempt to destroy SARS includes the President of the Republic. That is new news. It isn't. And of course, you know who the president was. And it says so in black and white, Jacob Zuma was part of the leadership in the process of destroying SARS. That's not my opinion. I'm telling you what the Zondo Commission says. Now, that's a bit of a conundrum. That you would have the President of the Republic of South Africa participating in a process to destroy the institution that gives him the means to govern. That's a kind of contradiction. It's a contradiction that then raises a question. Who indeed is this president? Because there is no way you are going to be able to square the circle that the President of the Republic of South Africa acts to destroy the South African Revenue Service. Either the Zondo Commission is entirely wrong, or we are dealing with somebody who is entirely wrong.
Former President Thabo Mbeki there. I'm hoping we have time to squeeze in another clip. But beyond the mentioning of President Jacob Zuma, what I picked up from what President Mbeki said in that clip is that we don't seem to read. We forget and we don't act. These are my summaries based on the fact that on multiple occasions during the address, when speaking of different reports, TM kept on saying to the audience, I'm sure you have read this and that report. The point I believe he was making, I think, is that we're not nuanced in our analysis of where we are, what has happened, and what still needs to be done. So much happens in the country, and we don't engage that which has happened deeply enough to fully understand and in turn act accordingly. These are my interpretations, and of course you're welcome to agree or disagree. Where I want to end is highlight the point that he raised in the complicity and direct actions of those who felt, as he put it, defeated by the emergence of our democracy, and because of the defeat that they believed they had endured, made a point of destabilizing this democracy. TM gives a number of examples of this, but I want to specifically highlight what he said about ESCOM because of where we are with our energy crisis, and specifically the roles that he speaks of counter-revolutionaries acting against the democratic state through the deliberate destabilization of ESCOM. In this clip, TM explains what happens or what happened with the construction of Medupi and Kusile, which, by the way, began during his presidency?
We take a decision, the government takes a decision in 2004. Whereas we have been saying to Eskom, look, don't build new capacity, generating capacity, for a number of reasons. We changed that and said 2004, okay, please build. That's when the decision was made to build Kusile, Medupi, Ingula, these power stations. 2004. But the record will tell you that the construction of Medupi, the first one to go under construction, started in 2007. So the question that arises in my head, what's the delay? Decision takes get taken in 2004, implementation starts 3 years later. Why? It's not easy to find an answer to that question in terms of the Eskom reports that we'll see on the internet. But the reason is, in fact, let me say the reason. What happened was that they started to construct Medupi before 2007. Not surprising when the government says 2004, please build. But they had to stop the building, destroy what they had constructed, because the companies that were paid and commissioned to prepare the building site for the building of Medupi didn't do their work properly. It's called geotechnical work. They didn't do their work properly. The result of which is when the construction of Medupi started, it sank. Had to be destroyed, more work done on the site. That delayed the construction of Medupi for 2 years. In my view, that's not an accident. That you'd have companies which normally are paid, they do this job all the time, to prepare sites for construction of whatever, and they messed this one up so badly that it delays construction of Medupi by 2 years. I'm saying I don't think that was an accident. It's consistent with these people who intervened with regards to SARS. They were intervening with regard to the matter of electricity. Medupi, Kusile were supposed to have been completed by 2014. In which case there would never have been this electricity crisis. But Kusile is still not completed to this day. Why? Seven years after the construction of Kusile started, it was not generating any, whatever you call that unit, of electricity after 7 years. Obviously, this is very embarrassing to anybody. So what Eskom did was to hire an Indian company, the Tata brothers. Hired the Tata brothers to come and build Unit 1 of Kusile. And the reason they did that is because that company had built another power station in India which was more or less a replica of Kusile. So they came indeed and they built Unit 1 of Kusile. So at last Kusile was generating electricity. So this company was expecting that their contract would then be extended to build Unit 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But Eskom said to them, no, we can't extend your contract unless you have got a BEE partner. So the Indians wanted to know, we brought 50 engineers and technicians from India, and the rest of the staff is staff at Eskom that we worked with. When you say we must have a BEE partner, how do you do that? Are there black engineers and technicians who can then come and become our partners? Maybe that's black empowerment. No, that wasn't working because already they had 120, 130 people under mentorship, engineers. Well, in the end, the matter couldn't be resolved of this BEE partner, so the Indians left. They finished their work in 2016. That Unit 1 of Kusile was integrated in the grid in 2017. I'm saying to this day, we have not finished completing constructing Kusile. And yet it's quite clear, if this business had not popped up of a BEE partner, Kusile would have been completed a long time ago. And I'm absolutely certain that whoever said to these Indians, get a BEE partner, it was not out of interest in terms of BEE matters. It was to delay the construction of Kusile.
That conclude what is in part the address by President Thabo Mbeki and what he had to say during a gathering with UNISA students yesterday. We decided to share parts of the address to go beyond the main sound bites carried in the news and also to allow us to reflect more on what he had to say. The full address is available via the SABC News YouTube channel should you want to listen to all that he had to say. What are your thoughts? One can imagine the different reactions, responses, and even narratives to what President Mbeki had to say. The need for us to reflect deeper on the 30 years of democracy, and when we critique or think of the 30 years of democracy since 1994, through which lens are we doing so? What are we thinking about? Are we fair in concluding, as some of us do, that it was a complete failure for the entire 30 years? And the division of the 30 years in these ages from 1994 to 2007, 2008 to 2022, and from 2022 to what we are about to conclude now. So there's that part of it. And then, of course, what is clear in that is the period of Mbeki's presidency was when things were going up. And post his departure is when things went down, at least based on what the former president had to say and what he has unpacked. And then, of course, further to that are the different elements, whether it's the what happened with SARS and what emerged from the Zondo Commission, and also, of course, the global economic crisis and all that has happened, which led to the decline, and also the undoing, from what he says, of the different pillars of our democracy and the different established entities that are meant to protect our democracy, whether it's the NPA, SARS, you name them. Your thoughts on these and what President Mbeki had to say. You can send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 0614-104-107. Up next, we go beyond our country and look at what's happening in the Sahel region. What is Niger? What is Mali? what is Burkina Faso up to, particularly considering those who are leading those nations right now? It is a meeting point on SAFM.